thebrightchurch.com, streaming wellness into your lives.
Welcome. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to today's episode of Karen's Couch. Well, you know, most weeks, and you know, if you've been listening to the podcast and you've been watching the show, you guys know that I'm fairly easily excited. So today is going to be no exception to the rule because, you know, I love all of the guests that we get on the show. I honestly, it's probably one of my favorite things that I do in all of my business is running these shows. And today, gosh, I've got somebody to introduce you to that I've been following for a long, 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 long time. You know, as a speaker, I have to say it's fairly challenging to be able to find people that you can follow and really align with and really connect with without even knowing them. You know, today's guest, I don't even know. I must check in. We may have met at some point. Something makes me think that we've actually crossed paths live and in the flesh. But I honestly have not had a great deal to do with today's guest other than my own personal stalking. You know how you read their blogs, you watch their videos, you follow everything that they do, and every time you see their name, you click on the link because you've got to see what they're up to. And today's guest has been that for me. Today's guest is a specialist in mindset around money. Now, I know, hand on heart, everybody that's listening to this podcast, everybody has had issues with money, and it's never so much about what's in the bank account. It's about what goes on between our two ears that stands in the way of our ability to not only get over the hurdles that money can sometimes bring for us, but also to be creative in terms of what potential lies ahead of us in our future. So today's guest is a master of all things magic when it comes to a millionaire mindset. So please help me welcome to the couch the amazing Mr. Pat Mesiti. Put your hands together. The crowd goes wild.
Yeah, they go wild. Oh, gee, thanks, yeah. Karen. Hi. Thanks for having me on the show. Hey, look, and I don't mean this to be a sexist thing, but a pretty blonde stalking me, I'll take it every single time. I'm up for it.
I bet you say that to all the girls.
No, I don't. I can promise you that. I can promise you that.
Bless. So, Pat,
thanks for having us on the show.
Oh, look, it's a real treat, actually. It's a real treat to be able to talk to you because, you know, everything that I've discovered about you over the years of watching you and following you is you are so real and so down to earth and so, you know, what I find with you, Pat, is that a lot of the information and the material that you put out there, it's easy to digest. It's easy to assimilate into the normal person's life. It's not some pie in the sky out there dreamboat stuff that people think, wow, I could never achieve that. I can never be that. I can never have that.
Yeah. I think in the words of Albert Einstein, he said, to be simple is to be great. And I think sometimes people make, you know, the art of any teacher, any mentor, any educator, and that, and by the way, mentor and educator and teacher are three totally different things. I think that's one word that people really don't get is that whole word mentor. But one of the real roles of a mentor is to make it simple, to make the complex simple. And once you make the complex simple, people can achieve it. You kind of get to a point when sometimes you listen to a speaker, and I often, when I do my speaker training, I say to everyone, listen, get to the point before the crowd starts wondering what's the point, you know? Yeah. And just get it and dumb it down because, you know, simple stuff is simple stuff. It shouldn't be that complex.
So, Pat, I'm a speaker trainer too, and I think that, you know, one of the amazing things about what we do is we really get to work with people in terms of their gifts and their talents and show them how to bring that out into humanity so that then not only can they make a massive difference, but they can also make a massive income while they're doing that. What have been some of the, I mean, you've got an amazing background. What have been some of the highlights of your background, of your experience? Some of the things that you've gone, wow, that's been life-changing for me.
Look, I've had a great life, a blessed life. I mean, I could tell you the time when I was in Washington and spoke to 250,000 people in one hit, you know, and then Hershey Arena, 50,000 people. But then again, there's been the times in the one-on-one where I've seen some you know, I was just talking to someone the other day of a young girl that came to my meeting. She was hooked on ice and got on our program, and now she's not on the ice anymore. And I could, you know, I mean, having graduated 400 young men from heroin addictions and cocaine addictions with an 86% success rate, I helped build one of the greatest churches on the planet, you know, because of my belief and my faith. And then also, you know,
Hang on a sec, stop there for a sec.
Mm.
Just that, what you've just said in those couple of flippant moments, is profound. What? Tell me about the church that you've created because of your faith.
I was the you know, I was one of the kind of co-founders of the big Hillsong Church for many, many years, and the big and the record label actually started in my house, believe it or not.
Wow.
And so so that was a great thing for me. And then went through a divorce in 2001, so I stood down from that and just focused on corporate and charity work. I mean, that's just part of it, you know.
And you're working with people who are drug affected.
Yeah, well, for many years I was the director of Teen Challenge and graduated 400 young men. I mean, I took it out of bankruptcy. It was interesting because it was $276,000 of debt, losing $27,000 a month with four boys in the program. And the chairman of the board said to me, "Pat, we can't find enough drug addicts in Sydney to fill a 30-bed facility." I said, "Mate, I can find 30 in my street, you know what I mean? Give me a break, you know." But the problem was that they had no concept on how to clear debt and cancel debt and inspire people to want to support the work. And that was the real issue. The issue was never about money, and it never is in most people's lives. Even when we built organisations such as, you know, the churches and the record labels, we never had the money. We never had the money. We had the vision. And when you get the vision, then the money follows. People think if I get the money, then the vision. It never works that way. It never has and it never will. And vision comes first, money comes second. People come first, money comes second. Yeah. Money should always be secondary to your primary purpose. And just in those things alone, it's been an awesome journey. And, look, I've had my ups and I've had my terrible downs, but it's never how low someone falls. It's just how high they jump back. And, you know, I'm sure out there everyone's had their ups and downs in life, and we just got to keep bouncing back, as old Gene Pitney said in that song Rubber Ball, you know.
So in terms of your purpose, you know, looking at just those things that you've mentioned there, and I'm sure that there's a whole world more, you know, you've been around for a while. What do you think is your purpose now?
My purpose in life, my vision is to build lives 24/7. And, you know, I've got a goal to help raise 10,000 millionaires in my lifetime. And I talk about millionaires from the inside out. Over 5,800 right now, if not more, have been through our training programs and taking ordinary mums and dads and helping them become millionaires. I like using words that kind of rub up against the grain, like rich, money. I use those words because people get uncomfortable and they go, "Oh, you know, real wealth." I go, "Yeah, right. Let's talk about cash." And we'll get to all the other stuff, but let's not skip around it. You know, it's like, you know, I meet a lot of life coaches that don't have a life. You know, they just got a diploma. I go, "Let's talk about your life for a start, and let's see what qualifies you to be able to be a life coach for somebody. Not a diploma. It's never a diploma." And so my passion is to empower people economically, because I can talk about prosperity in a whimsical, mysterious way, but I've got to bring it down to economic empowerment, and that is a completely different subject. Look, you know, most challenges that people have with money never starts with money. I can get someone on 80 grand a year and they can earn multiple properties, have online, offline businesses, and yet I get someone on $250,000, they can't even pay the rent. And it's not the amount, it's the headspace behind it that affects them. And tragically, many people don't get that. They think, "Well, if I had more resource." Look, if I give more resource to an unresourceful person, that resource will shrink to the level of their thinking. And so I've got to adjust the headspace behind that. Get people to realign, you know, realign themselves with what really money is to them, what money means to them, what money can do for them, what money, you know, and then how much do you want, you know, all of that, you know. I hear people say, oh, $1 billion. I go, great, out of 10, how are you going? You know?
And it's amazing that you say that, Pat, because, you know, I think that a lot of people, and I just have this belief myself, is that we teach what we need to learn. And a lot of people out there in the marketplace, you know, like you mentioned, the life coaches and those sorts of people, you know, that they are life coaches, but they don't have a life. And, you know, it's so that they can, you know, teach what they need to learn. And the other thing that you mentioned was there's no point giving more resources to somebody who's not resourceful. What do you mean by that? And a lot of people, I think, do struggle with that comprehension and that distinction of the difference between me being resourceful and me being somebody trying to teach resourcefulness.
Well, look, I use these examples, and I hope this may clarify it. I know a guy that won $380 million, the highest single amount in lottery history in America at that time. He blew it in 3 years. I toured with Mike Tyson, which was an interesting tour, to say the least.
There's another show in that.
Well, there you go. There's a guy that earned $400 million and went broke. I look at our footballers, these guys that have played millions of dollars for their contracts. I mean, even one of them this morning's in the paper. These boys make millions, and yet their mindset is so skewed. They have no ability to retain, invest, strategize, educate, empower that money. And I say to someone, okay, if I gave you a dollar, an extra dollar a week, would that make a big difference in your life? What would you do with it? Oh, it wouldn't make that much difference. If I gave you 10, oh, yeah. If I gave you $1,000, they go, oh, that'd make a difference. If I gave you 10,000, whoa, that'd just change my world. And I go, BS. Here's the thing. What you would do with that $1 is what you're going to do with that $10,000.
Yeah.
Warren Buffett said it's never the amount of money. It's what you do with it. It's the habit of what you do with it. So if I can't invest a buck, for example, if I can't take 10% out of my dollar and give it away, I'm not going to take 10% out of 10,000. That's a lot more money. Oh. If I can't train my buck, I can't train my 10,000. And there's an old saying that it says, if you're faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in much. Most people are looking for the big break. Why is it that you see on TV they win Big Brother or, you know, Biggest Loser or Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? 6 months later, 8 months later, they're a new idea, no idea, Women's Weekly, selling their story because from rags to riches back to worse rags. And most of them end up in a worse state than what they were before. They haven't learned to empower that money. They haven't educated themselves. And it's the same in business. Someone said to me, how do you get someone started small business? I said, well, give them a big one and wait 6 months. You know, that'll do it.
I love that.
You know, it's like, how do you take someone in a good relationship and turn it into a bad one? Just leave the person that's the same. Just leave them the same. I was talking to a lady the other day, and this applies to men and women, just wanted to be a lady, and her first husband was a complete lazy bum.
Yeah.
So now she marries a guy that works. She's still not happy. I said, the problem is not the guy. The problem's you.
The
problem is you. I've got nothing to do with the guy. You're just a miserable person. And no matter where I put you, you're going to be miserable. And if I have a broke mindset, I'm telling you, Karen, it will affect every single part of your life. If you're frantic with your money, you're going to be frantic in the home. If you're anxious with your money, you're going to be anxious in the home. If you're stingy with words, how in the world are you ever going to be generous with money?
Mm-hmm.
That's a long answer to a short question.
Oh, no, that's a bloody beautiful answer, Pat. It's a beautiful answer. You're talking about educating them, people being educated in money, and it's one of the things that honestly are just sometimes it really pains me because we educate ourselves through a system of schooling, which, you know, the curriculum hasn't been altered in over 100 years.
No.
So we're educating ourselves with an outdated education system, especially for today's society and generation. But that is...
And one of the biggest problems is some of the teachers are 100 years old, but we won't go there.
Let's not speak of that.
Let's not speak of that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
But the biggest thing I find is that we don't learn how to learn. Because if we learned how to learn, then we would be able to come out into society and learn about anything that takes our fancy, anything that interests us, anything that, I guess, serves a purpose.
You know, Karen, when I was at school, and it was year 11 and 12, everyone would say, you've got to study, you've got to read, which is really hard for a kid that's dyslexic. And so one day I walked into my first ancient history class and the teacher taught us how to read a book. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that's how you read? He said, first you just read it fast. Just read it, skim over it. He said, the second time you read it, get a pen and underline the things that you really, really stand out. Mm. He said, the third time, he said, write something near that line and you remember it. Do you know what, Karen? He only mentioned that once. And to this day, from when I was 17, and that's how I still read my books.
Yeah.
He taught me how to read a book. He taught me how to retain knowledge. And I hated school, but I loved his classes.
Oh,
I
bet you did.
And that was because he taught me how. He didn't tell me to. We say save, but we don't say how. We never say how much. We say invest, but we never say how or where to. We say multiply, but we never teach how, where to. We say love, but we never teach how. We say respect, but we never teach how. And that's the big problem, is that we're never taught how. How does a child clean up a bed? Go clean your room. Well, how do I clean my room?
Yeah.
Go and you've got to be respectful. But how do I be? I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And therein lies that, like we say, you got to get married, have a partner, be happy. But we never teach them the differences of men and women. Because a man will respond a hell of a lot different to a woman.
Mm.
You know, I see, and again, I know you got a lot of ladies out there listening. You know, they go to seminars, how to love your husband. Can I tell you? You went to the wrong seminar. You don't care. That's the seminar he's got to go to, how to love your wife. His primary language is not love. Yeah. His primary language is respect and honor. Now, assuming he's a guy that's worthy of some respect and honor, right? But and those two things are poles apart. And when I lecture even to women's events, and I go, girls, I'm telling you, you're gonna be one heartbroken girl if you expect your man to respond to you like your girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. And, dude, you're going to be one miserable guy if you don't learn to love that woman and tell her. You don't learn how to touch her. And they're the things that we don't get, we don't do. We don't do this in the basics of life, let alone in money.
We had an amazing couple of shows with Alan Pease last year.
Good mate.
Oh, yeah, he's such a scream. We were filming on his property there on the Sunshine Coast, and, oh, my goodness, what a fabulous bloke. But the conversation was just so much about those contrasts between men and women. But I think the point that you're making there is to get educated. You know, don't go out into the world and expect that you're just naturally going to know what to do with money. You're just naturally going to know. If we don't learn how else can we know?
Well, you got a lot of listeners there that are in business and different various sizes. We say, get in a business, be your own boss.
Mm.
And then what people do is they buy an expensive job.
Oh, it's so true. Or they buy a hobby.
But I teach my business guys, learn and then earn. Because if you get that mixed up, you're going to be in a lot of pain. So learn how to run a business. Learn. Look, I have an amazing friend of mine. She has one of the most, I'm telling you, Karen, and I know that you're a little lady, she has, I believe, and I've seen a lot, arguably the best products for women's skin. They are unbelievable. We're talking about British Journal of Medicine stuff, right?
Yeah.
Really, really cool. You should have her on your program, actually. She's brilliant.
Who is she?
I'll tell you off.
Okay,
off,
tell me off.
I'll tell you. It's a problem. She runs a company called Swede Success. Swede Success. And it's a brilliant product. She's 50 and looks 30. I mean, you know, hello, you know. But and it's an incredible product.
Yeah.
But getting that product to market is another level. It's a great product. And just wanting to get that product to market, you know, my team uses it, some of my clients use it, they swear by it. You feel it working on you when you put it on. Amazing product. But here's the thing. Getting it to market, getting it out there is another story. And now we're trying to get it to do, just do direct selling online. It'll be a lot better, more profitable for you, yeah. And people can get a better rate. It's getting the product to market. We can have a great product. You can have a great, even a great hobby, but it's getting it out there. We can have the best kept secret.
Yep.
And no one knows about it.
Absolutely.
And so let's learn how to do that, you know?
So, Pat, what would you suggest with your experience and what you do? What would be a message that you could give to our listeners today that they could start working on to propel themselves to another level of experience in their business and in their lives? Because as you say, how you do one thing is how everything unfolds. So how? What do you reckon? What do you think would be something that would be profound for them today?
Okay, first thing. Here's the first thing I would say to them. Watch who you hang around with.
Oh, I like that.
Bottom line, associations equal assimilations. You hang around negative nitpicking, thumb sucking whingers, that's what you're going to become.
Say that again.
Okay. You hang around negative nitpicking, thumb sucking whingers, that's what you're going to become.
That is so Australian. Yeah, I'll tell you what, our English listeners and our Russian listeners are going to love that.
but there you go. But you hang around a good marketer, you're going to be a marketer. You hang around healthy people, you're going to get healthy. You hang around successful people, and if you can't find them, find them. That's my thing. If you can't find them, find them.
Yeah.
First thing. Secondly, work on your mindset. Read, listen, study, model what other people do. Look, go where the successful people go. Read what they read. Learn what they learn. Thirdly, get a mentor. Get a financial mentor. Now, mentorship is not someone I listen to. A mentor is someone I follow. A mentor has everything I need is locked up in the heart of the mentor. So I've got to buy into the mentor.
Yeah.
Third thing about a mentor should give you access to principles, profit, and people. Anything less than that, it's not a mentor. People, profit, and principles. Anything less than that, it's not a mentor. It's just someone you listen to. A mentor holds within them the keys to your financial future. I can't change the direction of your life until I change the voices that matter to you. The other day I had one of my clients. He said to me, he was going through some challenges in his relationship, so he came to me for advice. I then found out he was listening to another friend of mine who was a bit of a disgruntled divorcee.
Oh, bugger.
And I didn't mind it because this guy was, you know, he's got a good partner, but what he did was he kept listening to this guy and projecting what this guy was saying in his relationship. Now, these are two totally different women. So I said to this guy, I'm not going to talk to you again until my voice matters more than his.
Yeah.
You call me your mentor. You pay me. Actually, he didn't pay me. I was doing it because he was a friend. I said, but my voice doesn't matter. So please, let's stop the conversation. And Karen, even in your life, if someone else's voice, matters more than yours, you're not the mentor, you're not the person of influence, you know. And that's why even with parents I say, you've got to make sure your voice matters in your kid's life more than their bad friend. And especially in this area of money and business. So get a mentor, you know, get a financial education and educate yourself on what you need your business to grow in. If it's marketing, learn it. If it's sales, learn it. If it's leadership, learn it. And realize that our businesses will rise or fall to the level of our mindset, not the level of your education. People say, I've got an MBA. That stands for me more bad advice, you know? I mean, I'm probably going to offend someone on that one too, but so what? You've got an MBA. Guy's got an MBA from university. He's never run a business.
Yeah, that's, you know, right.
I mean, come on. Or some guy goes to a course, gets a diploma, and then all of a sudden they're an expert in life coaching. But, you know, it's like speaker trainers that have never spoken. I go, why would you listen to that?
And that irritates me no end. Yeah. I often look at that and I think, gee, if you want to learn how to do something, learn from somebody who's doing it.
Karen, I've sold in my life 800,000 books. That's a lot of books.
That's a lot of books.
That's a hell of a lot of books, not compared to Alan or some of the others. And yet I find people want to go out and not listen, and they just write a book. I go, well, you made a big mistake there. You better lose your shirt off your back. So learn. The first thing is learn. Just learn. Associations are of vital importance. Mindset is of vital importance. You know, showing up is of vital importance. You know, I run events and they're open to the public. And you know, a lot of them are free. People register and then don't turn up. I go, well, that's why they're broke. You know, they think clicking a button and saying, yeah, you know, they never think, does this cost them something? How much money are they investing? They're going to buy morning tea, I'm not showing up. That says to me something about people. And showing up is 90% of success.
When you say that says something to you about people, what's your view on humanity and our understanding of money and the way that we value ourselves and value money? Do we miss the mark somewhere?
Yeah, I don't think we value money, especially in Australia. I mean, look, I certainly don't want to make this a political, and I'm going to try and stay away from politics as much as I can. But I look at when you've got politicians that want to throw money at you, right? And we go, that's yay.
Yeah.
Then you've got people that go, we're going to have some fiscal responsibility here for our future.
Yeah.
And we make them the enemy? What does that say? You as a parent would never say to your kids, here's my pay packet. Just go and dip in, take whatever you want. You know, So why would we do that at a higher level of financial responsibility?
Yeah.
We should never be supporting people that cannot work, ever, ever. Now, I feed 7,000 children a day. So I think I've got enough clout behind me to speak for the poor.
Yeah.
I have built over 15 homes for underprivileged children. I have given away $1 million in the last 7 years, $1 million cash out of my pocket in the last 7 years to charities.
Amazing.
So I believe you should support people that cannot work. We should never, under any circumstance, support those that will not work.
And there's a big distinction between that. They
massive
can't
distinction.
Or they won't.
You see, and I really believe part of our problem in this country is that we reward non-achievers and punish achievers.
Mm.
And that's a bad thing. See, if I said to you, I don't know, Karen, I don't know how many of the ladies out there have got kids. Most of your listeners have got kids.
Yeah.
And let's assume the kids are A and B or C students. Then I come in as a teacher and I go, you know what, this system's not fair, kids. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to sit and examine. What we're going to do, we're going to find the highest score in the class and then we're going to average it out for everybody so everybody's equal. Everybody gets an equal score, right? So no matter whether you're A and you try hard and study, whether you're E or F, we're going to give everyone the same score because that's nice and that's fair.
Yeah.
What would you as a parent do to me as a teacher? You'd be down that school
fast. So quick.
You'd be kicking my little hiney.
Yeah.
You would.
Yeah.
But here's the worst thing that happens.
Absolutely.
Here's the worst thing that happens. The D and E students are not motivated to do any better.
Yeah.
And then the A students, they lose any motivation they have.
And then everybody
to keep,
does sort
keep
of meet
standing.
That. Yeah.
And so and that's what's happened. In Australia, we want people to rise to the middle. And the moment you get up on top, we're going to tear you down, find something. And it's the same in other cultures too. And we must begin to push achievement. And I understand people struggle. I really do. I tell people I was so broke, I went to Kentucky Fried Chicken to lick everybody else's fingers, you know. So I know that. But that pain pushed me. You know, Karen, I was earning $70 a week as a youth minister. And at $70 a week, I went and bought a $1,500 program that I couldn't afford.
Yeah.
But I couldn't afford not to. So when people tell me I can't, I'm saying, give me a look at your checkbook. Give me a look at your credit card. You show me where your money's going and I'll find the money for you to do something.
Mm.
I'll find it. And that's what we've got to change, Karen. And I know people might think I'm harsh or whatever. I'm not harsh. I actually care.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually care. I drop people in my events. I put them into the Versace Hotel for a week, all their food, all their meals. I bring the John Farnham Band, Glenn Shorrock, you know, Hey Hey, It's Saturday Night Band, Kylie Minogue Show, Neil Diamond Show. I spoil them because I want them to see what life is like at a higher level so they never go back.
Mm. And so do you think that as if that's how it's unfolding for us as a nation, and I know that, you know, we've got listeners.
Well, globally, globally it's doing that right now.
Yeah, so from an individual perspective and how we can contribute to ourselves individually, how can we change our mindset around the way that we value ourselves and we value our own money so then it creates a ripple effect on a bigger level? How can we, because most people will have a belief that money is hard to get or I'm not worthy of it or, you know, especially in business, I find a lot of people who are new to business struggle with how to charge for their time and, you know, all those very basic things. How do we get that shift in our mindset around money on an individual level?
I think one thing is realize that money is just about money is about influence, and you've got to work out what you think you're worth. What do you think you're worth to the marketplace? What do you think you're worth to people? And then figure out a reasonable price. Like if everybody in your industry is charging $50 an hour, but you want to charge $200 an hour, well, you've got to show a marked difference as to why you would do that, you know? Do you know what I mean, Karen? You can't...
Yeah, totally.
Like, okay, so we know there's speakers that are $500 speakers, but then you've got speakers that are $50,000 speakers.
Mm.
I want to be the kind of person that brings value to the client and they see it. Like, you know, some speakers get $50,000. Well, why is that? Well, they're Colin Powell, General Schwarzkopf, John Gray, Tony Robbins. Well, there's a reason why they do that.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
You know, so work at what you bring to the marketplace. That's one of the most important things. And the more depth of the problem you solve, the greater the reward. You know, a garbage collector gets paid X amount, but a barrister gets paid X amount. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yep. I think that's really quite profound. So the more
I don't know if that answers the question.
No, it does. It does. The more depth of the problem you solve, what did you say? The more depth of the problem that you solve, the greater your worth.
The more depth of the problem you solve should determine the greater your return. So, you know, garbage collector gets paid, you know, $20-$50 an hour. Barrister gets paid $5,000. Why? It's the level of the problem they solve.
Yeah, for sure.
You know.
So Pat, we've kind of come to the end of the call, and it's all too soon. I know. How can our listeners get more of you? What's the best way for them to follow you up or get more of your information if they've found that you've struck a nerve with them today?
Yeah, look, my website, mesiti.com, M-E-S-I-T-I.com. They can get some free books there and videos, all kinds of stuff that they can access. And, they can go there, you know, there's a lot of stuff that they can get, you know, for free, and we'd love to educate and empower them, you know.
So who do you work with the most? What sort of people do you work with that come through your events and you know, go through your programs with you?
Average mums and dads that want to be extraordinary. Look, I've got people that are on small incomes to people that are multi-millionaires. I mean, I've got, you know, I got one of my clients said, Pat, can I buy your company? And he threw a massive figure at me. I said, yeah, no, we're not doing that, you know. And that was just one of my own clients, you know. Everyone. I mean, we've got people from real estate to network marketers, to beauticians, to stay-at-home mums, to, you know, business mums. We've got all kinds of people out there that really are amazing. And Karen, I build a community. It's a community of wealth. Why do I build a community? Because I figured whether you're a rubber dinghy, an ocean liner, a Sea-Doo, or a speedboat, when the tide rises, we all rise.
Yeah.
And it really is a sensational environment. And we say to people, just come be part of the community. And, you know, we're going to help you grow, you know. We're going to help you grow your wealth. And I think, you know, once people get in a community, they tend to – they tend to grow more. They tend to engage more. They tend to associate more. Remember, we spoke about associations, and that's one of the big one of the big things is you become like you associate, and we just carry each other, you know.
And it's true, you know. I know in uni they speak about a topic called communities of practice, where communities come together, and while I may not know everything, you know something I don't know. So between the two of us, we go and create something bigger than what we would have had individually, you know, where the collective...
Well, look at what we're doing here today, Karen. Look at what we're doing here today.
Totally.
So, you know, I'm reaching into your community and, you know, I'd love you to come in and reach in and into ours, and we can only grow together from that.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Look, find someone that's bigger and greater than you and plug into them. You know, my mentor said to me, Pat, stand on the shoulders of giants and then let others stand on you. Now, I'm a short guy, so I need to do that.
Well, me too, Pat.
You know,
me too. Together we'll make 10 feet tall.
Totally. But, you know, Kat, when he first said that, I didn't get it. I didn't even know what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Now I get it. And my advice to people is just do that, you know. Just do that. Yep.
Oh, it's so yep.
And your life will be so much greater and bigger and more, there'll be more growth, you know. And we can only grow out of that. We can only grow out of that. And, you know, look, if you want a learning environment, that's a great one. And, again, they get free books and free videos and all that kind of wonderful stuff. We all love free. I'm Italian. I love free.
Oh, you're hilarious. Pat, this has been an awesome conversation, and I really hope that our listeners do go and track you down, because certainly from my own experience, you've been somebody that's been really inspiring to follow, because you're not somebody who minces your words. You're just straight to the point and so real and so down to earth, as I said when I first opened the show. And I
think
that's what makes your philosophy and your methodology really achievable for the average everyday person who's potentially grown up in an environment that says they can't. They find you and you say they can. So it's a real...
Thank you so much, Karen.
Yeah, no, it's a real sense of relief, which is beautiful. So thanks for being on the show today, Pat.
Well, thank you. If we forget where we've come from, where we're going, we'll always be clearer.
Yeah, look, it's beautiful.
And I'm just very grateful. Thank you so much. God bless you, Karen.
God bless you too, Pat. So to all of our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in today and for joining me on the show with Pat Mesiti. Make sure you go to his website at mesiti.com. That's M-E-S-I-T-I.com. And we're going to have the link to Pat's website underneath this show anyway. Make sure that you go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and tell everybody that you just think Karen's couch rocks. Because guess who we have on the show? We've had Pat Mesiti. You know what? It doesn't get any better than that. So join us here next week and tune in for some real inspiration, some enlightenment, and some more enlivenment in your life. You can post your comments about today's show at allthews.facebook.com/Karen's Couch. And you can also go straight to Karen's Couch at allthews.karenscouch.com and post your comments there if you happen to be listening to the show in your car, on your walk, or on your run, or while you're doing your housework. So thanks again for tuning in to an awesome show. It's been such a treat. I just love this stuff, don't you? Join us here next week for more enlightenment, and we'll see you then. Same time, same station, right here on Karen's Couch. Bye for now.
This has been a production of TheWellnessCouch.com. Check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation on Facebook.com/TheWellnessCouch. Subscribe to each show on iTunes and check us out on Twitter. The Wellness Couch, streaming wellness into your lives.
Whilst the Wellness Couch presenter endeavor to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.